Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources, including our award-winning documentary, Captivated, which the Parents Television Council called deft and powerful. Be sure to send us your comments or questions to podcast at MediaTalk101.org. Once again, that's podcast at MediaTalk101.org. And if you find this program helpful, then please consider letting others know about it and help us get the word out. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president, back in the studio today with friend and co-host, Rhett Simpkins. Rhett, welcome back, and tell me, what's going on in your life today?
I'm just getting ready to hear to ask you a bunch of questions. I hope you're ready.
Okay, yes, well, that's what we're doing this summer, all this summer, questions and answers. It's, you know, I've had it's a busy time for me this summer with a lot of travel. And so in the future, we might tweak the format a little bit, but we appreciate your questions. So don't hesitate to send your questions or comments, once again, to podcast at MediaTalk101.org. And so, Rhett, why don't you get us started today, and what do we have on the list?
Okay, we'll start it off with this question. Isn't it possible to draw applicable and spiritual truth or wisdom from modern media?
Okay, I'm going to kind of interpret this one a little bit, because I think they're probably, in that question, thinking secular media, so, you know, a Hollywood film, and, you know, there's this... there, you know, maybe there's a hero in the story and he overcomes some obstacle, or, you know, he fights against evil and wins, or, you know, there's some sort of, you know, message, you know, pseudo moral message or something. So I'm just going to go with the hunch that I have that it's not just about, because of course I believe that modern media in general, you know, you can draw truths, especially if truth is being communicated. But I think what that question, really getting to the heart of it, is do you think that if I consume, you know, Hollywood movies, that I can draw something good out of them, or even a song, a popular song on the radio, or, you know, so those type of things? This is a common question that comes up. It was interesting. I had a friend talking about a television programming, and he says, well, maybe there's something good on there. But he used this analogy. He says, even if there was, you wouldn't catch me digging through a McDonald's dumpster looking for an edible fry. You know, so yeah. He, and I, you know, there's a certain point where why accost your heart and mind with so much garbage just to try to pick out some little, you know, teachable moment or something, when I can point you in a better direction if you really want to grow in wisdom and in godly character. Then open up your Bible. It's full of great stories. Mm-hmm. It's full of great teaching. It's full of things that are going to be very helpful to build our lives. And so I don't think that we should always look to films and music as a place, if you are searching for wisdom, if you're looking for help, if you're looking to build upon a foundation. Of course, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians that no other foundation can be laid other than that which has been laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have to start with that foundation. And so I'm going to assume that the person writing in is a Christian. They have a foundation on Jesus Christ, and then we build on that. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but Paul said that you have to be careful how you build on that foundation. If wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, jewels, and precious stones. And the difference between the wood, hay, and the stubble is that when it's tested by fire, and he uses this analogy, a testing of fire, it's burned up and nothing's left. Mm-hmm. Other than ashes, you know, that's what you have left, wood, hay, and stubble. It's tested by fire, you have ashes, as opposed to the gold, the jewels, the precious stones. These things are purified by fire. They're lasting. And so there's this understanding in the scripture that there are things that you might do that are just wood, hay, and stubble. They really, when they're tested by the fire from the Lord, you know, then are they really, is it really something that really matters? Is it something that lasts? Is it eternal? And I'm afraid that there's so much garbage out there. You know, I know it's not all bad, but it seems like to be very few and far between that you find something that's pure, mm-hmm. innocent, that at least that Hollywood is producing, or, you know, non-Christian media. There's such a slant, you know, that the worldview, the presuppositions, you know, the commitment that they have to secular humanism or whatever the case may be, you're being bombarded with that. And I've said for many years, garbage in equals garbage out. You can't think that all of this is not affecting you. You know, we did a whole podcast on that, you know, it doesn't affect me. Mm-hmm. And so many people think that, like, well, I can consume all this. And certainly finding a teachable moment in the midst of garbage doesn't negate all the garbage that you're taking in. It doesn't somehow become a shield from all the garbage just because it has a teachable moment. Mm-hmm. So we really need to guard our hearts and minds. We're taught in the book of Hebrews that part of Christian maturity growing up is to have an understanding of righteousness, what is right as opposed to what is wrong. And it says that solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And so it takes some training, you know, to discern between what's right, what's wrong. And the idea is to choose what's right, mm-hmm. and to say, I don't want to consume the things that are bad. And, you know, over when I was younger, I wasn't so discerning in my media choices, and it affected me. And my heart was hardened. It was affected. It was desensitized. I was harboring ideas and thoughts and images, you know, that should have never been in my heart and my mind. And, you know, it's taken over 20 years for some of that stuff to get worked out, mm-hmm. you know, and replaced with better things as I've spent more time in God's Word. So certainly there's a lot of caution, and I'm always take that approach. You know, I think we've been too careless, and we need to be more careful. And so I wouldn't want to encourage someone to say, yeah, it's okay to go ahead and consume a bunch of garbage in order to try to pick out a teachable moment. There's plenty of great teachable moments in God's Word, plenty of teachable moments in great Christian biographies, great Christian devotionals out there, things that really have the heart of Jesus Christ. And this another thing I'm thinking about, and this is not exactly on topic here, it's just it popped into my head, and I'll just use this, you know, time to mention it. Sometimes people come and ask me about this. Philip, what do you think about these new devices that they have for television that takes out all the bad words? Don't you think these are great? You know, because now it kind of cleans it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, so now we can weed out some of the bad content, and we can take in whatever the good content is. And so I usually look at them and see, I mean, are they serious? You know, because they no. But what I, you know, I'll ask them. I said, well, tell me this. It may take out the bad words, but does it take out the bad worldview? Mm-hmm. You know, because if I had to choose between one or the other, it's not that I want to be exposed to bad words or my children to be exposed to bad words, but those can be identified and dealt with easier than bad worldview and bad presuppositions and ideas and philosophies and deceptions that are so subtle that work their way through. And so, you know, I ask people, do they make a box that you can hook up to your TV or device that filters out all that bad worldview? Because the reality is if they have swearing, you know, if the producers have included coarse language, then what does that tell you about their worldview? Mm-hmm. You know, so do you really think that just taking the words out is really going to change the philosophy behind the production? And so some people are shocked when I tell them, guess what? They actually do have a device for this that weeds out all that bad worldview. And they're like, really? Yeah, you didn't hear about that? It's called the off button. Mm-hmm. You know, pull the plug, you know, turn it off. It's universal, you know, and you might have to use your remote or get up off your chair and go over and hit that off button, but it's pretty effective, mm-hmm. you know, at weeding out all the bad worldview. Okay, so what else do we have here?
Okay, we have another question. How many verses are there in the Bible about media?
Well, you know, off the top of my head, there's one or two. There's like a city called Media. I don't know if that's actually how it's pronounced. Maybe it's pronounced something else, you know, but it's spelled the same as we would say media. And so that's the only mention of media in the Bible. Of course, when someone's asking this, it's because, okay, Philip's talking about biblical principles for media discernment, but there's not a single verse that you can point to that talks about Xbox or MP3s or DVDs or Netflix or Redbox or satellite television or, you know, you name it, you know, Facebook, social networks. You know, you're not going to find anything there. And certainly these are things that are unique to our time. But I believe that God has provided a sufficient help for us in this day and age. And that's one of the things I appreciate for those who understand the sufficiency of Scripture. That's one thing to talk about the inerrancy of Scripture, that the Scripture is accurate, that the Scripture is true. But there's something else, and that's that the Scriptures are sufficient. You know, that God provided sufficiency, and it says that He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. And there's another paraphrase there. I'm just pulling off the top of my head, but God has provided everything we need. The Scriptures are sufficient. So we have to go to the Scriptures and pull out principles. And of course, these principles, you're not going to find thou shalt not, you know, play Xbox 360. You're going to find verses like we've talked about before. You know, Psalm 11:5, the Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. You're going to find verses about, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. You know, you're going to find verses like I quoted earlier, that solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern between good and evil. And we're going to have Galatians that talks about, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he will also reap, you know. And if you sow to your flesh, from that you'll reap corruption. But if you sow the Spirit, from that you'll reap eternal life. That there are things here that we sow into, you know, ideas and thoughts and beliefs. These are all things that when you take them in, you know, they're sowing into your body. And they're going to produce something. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get that concept of garbage in equals garbage out. And, you know, Scriptures, like in Hebrews, where it says that we're to lay aside every weight and sin, which so easily ensnares us, and run the race with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. These are all principles that do apply to the digital age. And we have to begin to really think through all the things we're facing today and say, Lord, you've given a tremendous amount of wisdom. And, you know, certainly long before there was electricity and screens and radio waves and all the things that we're experiencing today, there was still a corruption in the heart of man because of sin. And so, you know, you don't need, you know, media is not the root problem. All you have to do is go back to the book of Genesis, start reading in chapter 1, read all the way to chapter 50, and you're going to see that long before electronic media, there was a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big problem. When you have the first family, you have the very first family, Adam and Eve, and you've got one brother, Cain, killing his brother, Abel. I would say that's pretty big problems without media. And then you don't get too much further, and the world is so violent that God destroys it in a worldwide flood. You know, no media involved there. So we have, you know, mankind has had enough trouble without all the media influences. So what has changed, though, are new, what I would call conduits for temptation and time wasting. And that is unprecedented. There's never been a time in history where we have been faced with what we're faced with today. Mm-hmm. And that calls for a heightened discernment. But the church has really been asleep at the wheel on this. You know, there's been kind of two extreme approaches, and one would be those who say nothing at all. You know, we're going to isolate ourselves, and that's nearly impossible. I mean, even the Amish aren't even able to do that these days. You cannot just wall yourself off from all of these devices and this media input. And the other extreme would be It doesn't really matter. So anything goes. And we just need to kind of go with the flow and not buck the world system here. And I think there's a middle ground, you know, of discernment, disciplined discernment, where we are understanding the heart of the Lord. We're understanding the impact of all of these, not only the devices, but certainly the content as well. And we pray and ask for wisdom and ask the Lord to help us to walk in a wise manner, use these tools carefully. And so, yeah, I think I stayed somewhat center of that question, but you know, it's kind of broad. But yeah, certainly you're not going to find specific scriptures about media and technology, unless you could find, you know, there's some, there may be some Bible prophecy teachers who go out on a limb and really stretch some scriptures to find something here or there. Whether they're right or not, I'll leave that to those who spend their time delving into that. But really, you're not going to find it. But certainly, let me bring this up. The media that you do see a concern about in the Bible are books. You know, so you see there's a story in the Book of Acts where a whole community, as revival broke out, that they brought their occult books and they burned them, and it was a pile of them and worth a lot of money, because books were, it's not like logging onto Amazon like I do, and with my Prime, you know, membership, just free second day shipping, you know, click. And in fact, many of these books today are printed on demand. You know, they got there's a big computer up there, you know, and a big machine, and it just creates a book. It's unbelievable. That's so, and they're cheap, but it wasn't the case back before the days of the printing press to have a book, you know, something that was hand copied. And the church was greatly concerned about that. New believers were greatly concerned. The revival breaks out and nobody had to tell them, hey, burn your books. They said, you know, this stuff is garbage and we don't need it in our lives. And sometimes, you know, following the Lord calls for some desperate measures, and they understood that, and they knew that this was something that they had to clean house. So I talk about getting rid of toxic media. That was toxic media. They piled it all up. They burned it. And throughout church history, before electronic media, that was one of the greatest concerns, was literature and books. And of course, when the printing press came in, that was a blessing. Now you could print Bibles. But there was also other things that were beginning to be printed, and that could be disseminated on a broader level. So there are, we do see the seeds of media discernment, you know, even in the Book of Acts.
Here's another question. Do you think that media producers are using subliminal messages to influence people?
You know, there's some interesting studies that I've come across. They're mostly from the past, about the practices of inserting subliminal messages in media. And there's been a lot of studies that have done and how, whether that's effective or not. And also, you know, there's the practice today of just embedding ideas, stealth marketing, and it's not exactly subliminal. But regardless of whether people are still doing this and still attempting to do this, I think it's the wrong trail to go down, because I think there's a greater concern. You know, even if they are doing things subliminally, that can be resolved, at least if it's, let's say it's a screen-based thing, then just turn it off. You know, you don't have to be flooding your heart and your mind with advertising and movies and television all the time. So you turn it off and, you know, you solve that issue right away. But regardless of the subliminal messages that are being sent, I'm more concerned about the stuff that's right on the nose. You know, it's right, it's present. They're not even trying to be sneaky anymore about this. They're just being upfront, and it's everything from trying to sell you products to trying to sell you ideas and philosophies to really the marketing of rebellion against God and sin and all of these things. There's no tiptoeing around them anymore. It's not like the producers are trying to be careful to kind of slip this stuff in and subliminally influence people. It's just bold, and that's the shocking thing. And I refrain in our ministry, and on this podcast of sharing some of that bold nonsense that's coming from the world, some of the things that are evil. And it's just the approach that I've taken. I'm not going to be critical of those who do point these things out. I appreciate what some ministries do and organizations like the Parents Television Council, who they go and they review some of this stuff. And then they, you know, I get updates from the Parents Television Council. But I'll tell you what, even they give warnings, like, you know, be careful about what we're going to present, mm-hmm. because we're going to tell you what's in this program. And half the time I can't read the whole thing. You know, I just read the first few lines and I know enough's enough. I mean, it's bad. It's, and sometimes I'm kind of guarded from all that because I'm not viewing it. So it's not really touching me. It's not touching my family in that way. But I am aware that, the producers today are not trying to be always stealth about it anymore. They're just boldly proclaiming their ideas and thoughts, pushing the envelope time after time. And, you know, I am grateful, you know, for watchdog groups like the Parents Television Council and the work that they're doing to try to bring some accountability to some of this. But when it's all said and done, you know, you've got to just simply use some discernment and say, you know what, nobody's forcing me. It's not like you're, you know, nobody can, at this point, at least nobody's chaining you to chairs, mm-hmm. You know, propping your eyelids open with toothpicks and forcing you to sit in front of a television to watch the garbage, you know. So thankfully that's not happening. And I can just say, you know, it doesn't have an effect on me because I'm not watching it. So a lot of these questions really are resolved by just minimizing how much you're consuming. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure if you're interested in learning more about the subliminal things, there's some studies and research out there you can, but I just haven't been too interested. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really, it's not something that really bothers me because I think there are greater concerns. But mm-hmm. if it bothers you, feel free to write me and you can send me some links and we can talk about them. So I think that we got to wrap up this episode this week. So I want to encourage you once again, if you have questions or comments or disagreements with me, I'm okay with that. So send me your questions or your thoughts to podcast@mediatalk101.org. You've been listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Visit mediatalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources. If you have a question or a topic you would like to have discussed on this program, please send an email to podcast@mediatalk101.org.